Hi, this is Jan. I tell you, I have had the hardest time recording this teaching today. There's been one distraction after another, one interruption after the other, but I believe it's a word from the Lord, so I'm going to hang in here and try to get it done, and I pray that it blesses you and that it will edify and exhort and encourage your heart. The name of the teaching is called Hang On to Your Ship, and you're thinking, what? Well, I've been studying the last few weeks and maybe even the last month about Paul and his life and what a mighty man of God he was. Oh, talk about a man that would not give up and just was so strong in his determination to serve the Lord and speak the word with boldness and just, it didn't matter. I mean, they would beat him, put him in prison, shackle him, and he and Silas would sit in jail. One time I read that they sat there and they were singing hymns and things were just great. That's like in Acts 16 where an earthquake, you know, opened the doors and broke the chains off of them. I think about Paul and I'm thinking, wow. You know, the things that we go through seem so much more minor than what he went through. But I know for you, when you're going through those things, they don't seem like they're minor. When you're in shackles or you feel like you're in prison, you don't think it's easy. And I understand that. And I think that's why the Lord has given me this word to remind you that the Lord is with us and that he's going to get us through our hard times. And so as I'm reading in chapter 27 of Acts, this is where Paul is on his way on a ship to Rome and he's had charges brought up against him and he has to go and try to explain why he's done what he's done and why he is always turning every city upside down and you know, he's always causing a riot and he's always been accused of breaking the Roman laws or the laws of the Jewish traditions and that kind of stuff. And yet what he was doing was proclaiming the word of God and he wouldn't stop. Nothing could stop him. I've asked the Lord to put that kind of tenacity into my heart and into my spirit that nothing will stop me from declaring and decreeing the word of the Lord. And so as I'm studying about Paul and this story, it's not a story, it's really a life story about Paul. There, you know, he's on this ship and he's been trying to tell the people, we ought not to go on this trip. You shouldn't sail. We should stay right here. And yet they were determined to get him to Rome. And so they get inside the boat and they're on the way and the wind starts blowing and the storm comes up and it's just a bad situation. But in verse 21, this is what Paul said to him. I mean, this is what Paul writes. He said, but after a long absence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heed and take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as he told me. And see, that's what the Lord was saying. You know, this is probably where if I'd been Paul, I would have said, I told you so. But the faithfulness of God to Paul sent an angel to the Lord to tell Paul right in the midst of that storm, it's okay, Paul. You're not going to die, and I'm not even going to let these guys die. Now, these were men that were taken, a servant of God, one of God's men, over to Rome to stand in court. And God only knew at that time what was going to happen to Paul. And the Lord had an opportunity that he could have stilled the sea. He could have annihilated these guys that were taking him over there. And Paul could have survived and even escaped from this storm if God had chosen. But Paul, that's not what Paul had in store for his life. The Lord said, you know, you've got to go over there. This is part of your destiny. This is part of my life plan for you. And so I'm not only going to let you live, but I'm going to let these guys that are taking you there live. Isn't that just amazing that even those that are around us that maybe are opposition to what we're doing and they're hindering some of the work of what the Lord has us to do and they're trying to keep us from fulfilling the destiny and purpose that the Lord has for our life, God is still sparing them and allowing them to be a part of our life so that they can get to a place of safety just by being in association with us. I think that is so amazing that the Lord would do that. In fact, it goes on in 27, it talks about it was 14 nights later that they decided they would just drop anchor and start throwing stuff out. But Paul said, warned them, he said, look, Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. And that's what, you know, that's what's so amazing, that even when we see that these people that maybe are around our lives that are not doing, you know, the best thing that would be good for our life, we still have to tell them, you know, if you'll just hang with me and just walk and follow me as I follow Christ, things will be well with you. And they may not understand that. They are probably spiritually can't discern the nose in their face. They're probably carnal. Many of them may not even be Christians, but God's saying, I'm even going to take some of the ones that are around you over to the other side, and they'll know safety because they're connected to your life. I think that is such an awesome example of God's mercy and grace. Did these guys that were in the ship with Paul deserve it? Probably not. I know that they weren't saved, you know, so why would the Lord extend his mercy and grace to them? Because that's what God does. You know, his will is that none should perish, and that included right in this situation. He didn't even want these guys, these soldiers and centurions, to perish, and he certainly didn't want Paul to perish at this time. And so it's just the mercy of God. Sometimes that just blows me away how awesome he is. Well, anyway, it goes on, and before you know it, the ship does break up, and the guys are beginning to hang on to boards, and they're hanging on to parts of the ship, and yet in the midst of the storm, they finally, after hanging on to boards and pieces of the ship, they get to the other side safely, to an island and to land. And I think that's awesome, because, you know, there's times that we're in the sea of life, and maybe your sea of life is a storm of finances. Things look bad financially for you, and yet you're still needing to hang on to your ship. And maybe your health is not where it's supposed to be, because we know that by his stripes we were healed. Not gonna be, not should have been, not might be, but it says we are healed. We were and we are. And so I encourage you right now, even if at this moment, if you're going through some kind of illness or sickness, don't let go of your ship, because the Lord's saying that you are healed, and it just be a matter of hanging on with faith and believing the word of God. Your relationship, maybe with your children, maybe with your marriage, is not where it needs to be. Hang on, because the Lord says, I'm about to change that. And you know, as I'm thinking about ships sailing and everything, it's, you know, they start from one place and they go to another place, and a lot of times the Lord tells us to launch out, and we're all excited because the Lord's saying, I need you to move over to point B. You know, we're leaving point A and we're going to point B, and we're all excited and we think it's going to be great, and in our mind we kind of think that we're going to be on a cruise ship and we're going to be like on the Caribbean, and the water's going to be all clear and no winds are going to blow, and we're going to just sit there and eat pineapples and just suntan. And yet sometimes that's not what happens. We get on a ship in our lifetime, and all of a sudden things start raging at us, and things begin to start looking like they're going to fall apart, and we don't know what to do and what to hang on to. Well, I can tell you hang on to the Word. You hang on to who you are in Christ. You hang on to the fact that the Father loves you more than you even know. You hang on to what Jesus died and provided for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. You don't let go of the Word of God that he's planted and written on the tablets of your heart. You hang on. And no, we're not always on a cruise ship. Sometimes God gives us those blessings and we get to sail in those kind of waters. But right now, I feel like some of you that are listening are not on a cruise ship. You're on a ship that's about to go shipwreck and you don't know what to do. I'm telling you, hang on to your ship, because the Lord's going to provide a way for you to survive and get to a place of safety. Well, as I was thinking about, you know, the ship breaking up and the boards, and the Lord said, Jan, hang on to your ship. I said, Lord, what do you mean, hang on to my ship? He said, you know, things like sonship, your worship, your citizenship, your discipleship, your fellowship, the ownership that I have of you. You were bought with a price. And I thought, Lord, that's pretty cool. So when things are raging, you know, there's times that we just have to hang on to what the provisions are of the Lord. For instance, when you think about your sonship, Galatians 3 verse 7 says, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And Galatians 4, 6 and 7 says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So the Lord's saying, because of your sonship, what's been purchased because of Jesus Christ, you can hang on to those things that the sonship brings you as an heir through Jesus Christ. We are joint heirs with Christ. So everything that he has is ours. We have nothing in ourselves, but boy, we sit in heavenly places with Him. We have an inheritance as saints of God that we can hang on to because of the sonship that Jesus Christ provided because of the will of the Father. Another ship that we can hang on to is citizenship. In Philippians 3:20, it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven." In other words, we carry a passport in the kingdom of God by the blood of Jesus. It gives us the right to be able to tap into those things that are inherently given to us because of Jesus. And yeah, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And some of you say, well, okay, I'm a U.S. citizen. But you know what? When you're a citizen of heaven, you can tap into so much more than what you could on anything that you would have on this earth, even as an American. And I know that some of y'all are living in other countries, and you've got certain things that you see as an inheritance if you're born in England or if you're born over in South America. There's certain things that you're able to tap into because of your citizenship in those countries. But I tell you, there's something about being a citizen in heaven. And we need to rejoice in the fact that we're not of this world and that we can rise above any circumstance or situation. The other ship that the Lord spoke to me about was discipleship. It says in John 8:31-32, it says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believe him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciple indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.'" See, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, that means disciplined one. That means one that follows after the master and the teacher and disciplines their life according to what the word says. And there's times that's not always easy, but oh my goodness, folks, it's so important that we do. The word has been given for us for instruction, for reproof, for correction. It is life to those that find them. When we eat of the word, it's eating bread. It's the bread of life that causes us to be able to stand strong and to be building spiritual muscles that when the enemy comes at us, then we know that the word will rise up in us and we can speak forth the word of God that will be like a sword that's sharper than two-edged sword that will cut asunder anything that comes at us, whether it's sin, whether it's deception, whether it's the lust of the flesh, whether it's just a lying spirit that's trying to tell you that you're not who you are in Christ. The Lord says, if you'll discipline yourself, if you will become a disciple and draw off of that discipleship, then the Lord will bring you through according to His word. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so the Lord's saying, come on, hang on to your discipleship. Be a disciplined saint. Be one that's in prayer. Be in the word. Find out what the Father's saying. You know, get a hunger and thirst after righteousness. He says, if you seek first the kingdom of God, then all of these things will be added to you after you first seek righteousness. Walk in righteousness. Hang on to that discipleship that the Lord has given us. The other ship that we need to hang on when the storm's raging and you're out on the sea of life is worship. John 4:23-24 says, "For the hour is coming and now is when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." So when life is just not what you expect, when things are coming at you 90 miles an hour and you don't know how you can stand, begin to worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. He says that if you will stand there and worship the Lord, seeking, looking, trying to find somebody that is worshiping Him in a spirit of truth, in a spirit that is in worship. And you know, worship is not just standing in a congregation singing a few songs. And you know, we know that God inhabits the praises of His people. Yes, praise. That's not what I'm talking about. But when you worship Him, that is like bowing down your thoughts, your feelings, your opinions, what you want, your desires, your preconceived ideas. When you bow down before the Most High God and you just begin to worship Him and thank Him for who He is and not so much what He's doing for for you than the Lord seeking, looking for those that are looking for the truth, that's seeking Him in the Spirit, that's walking by the Spirit, that is not fulfilling the lust of the Spirit. And you know, in the Word says that there's real liberty when we walk in the Spirit. And as we're walking there, there is true worship that the Lord desires from us. And, you know, to say that we only need to be in the Word, that's true. You've got to be in the Word. And to say that, well, I only need to praise. Yeah, you need to praise, but that's not all you need to do. You've got to be in the Word. You got to be praying. You got to be prostrate before the Lord and going, I love you, Lord. Here's my life. I surrender everything. What do you want of me? How can I be more pleasing in your sight? How can I walk more in faith? You know, and this worship has got to be adoration and respect and reverence for the Most High. And the Lord seeking for those that are worshiping Him in spirit and truth. The next shift that the Lord gave me was fellowship. According to 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. Yeah, God is faithful. And that's how He calls us, is to be faithful. He wants us to be faithful in our stand for the Lord. He wants us to understand that we were called into the fellowship of His Son. The fellowship, that's being able to sit down and commune with Him and to just love Him and enjoy His presence and to enter into a place of trust and rest and acceptance of His plans for your life. And thinking of the word trust, that's something that the Lord's been speaking to me since the first of the year, since January. He said, Jen, you've got to trust. You've got to learn to wait, and you've got to learn to be patient. And that's what the Lord is saying, that sometimes when you're in the sea of life and things are raging at you, the place that you've got to get to is a place of faith, trust, waiting on Him, and knowing that if you'll just be patient, it'll be just a matter of time. And sometimes He is testing you to see, are you going to waver? Are you going to stand in faith? Are you going to please Him according to your faith? Are you going to stand on the Word when everything around you is like hell has broken loose and water is overtaking you? The Lord says, if you'll just trust me, wait on me, be patient, walk in faith, I'm going to cause you to rise above it. And the next thing you know, you're going to be walking on the water. And Jesus did it. Peter did it. And Peter began to sink when he took his eyes off the Lord. And that what that was is Peter was walking on faith. He was walking on the Word. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if your faith isn't where it needs to be, then begin to get in the Word of God and stand on it. It will elevate you to a place in the Spirit that you will know the Spirit of God when He begins to tell you to move. You will know when the Lord says, go out on that sea no matter what you see, and just set your face like a flint and head towards the wind, and I will get you to the other side safely. The other shift that the Lord showed me was ownership. According to 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, that which is of God. In other words, the Lord's saying, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Your body is the temple of the Lord. You are bought with a price. You don't even belong to yourself. We make all kinds of decisions, and we boast that we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And, you know, we ought to be adding it. The Lord is willing. And, you know, and sometimes when we're saying these things, and we're saying them out of the carnal mind, we're not in agreement with the Word of God, the Lord will correct us. And He's going, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You know, who do you think you are? You belong to me. That's not what I want for your life. And He begins to correct us and instruct us. And I'm grateful that I'm owned by Him, that I've been bought with a price. I owe Him everything. And yet He hasn't asked for anything but my love and my faith and my surrender to follow Him. As I was thinking about, you know, being out on the sea and God asking you to go from one place to the other, I was reminded by the Lord that, you know, when we go from point A to point B, that time in between is considered a transition time. Any crossing from one place to another requires a transition that begins with an end, a ending and it ends with a beginning. So sometimes, like I said earlier, that we get all excited about where we're going, and yet we get out there and you're thinking, oh my goodness, this is not what I thought it was going to be. But if we could get our eyes on the end of that destination and understand that that's just really the beginning. And sometimes those steps to get there are not easy. But the Lord says, you just hang on to me. You hang on to your worship. You hang on to your sonship. You hang on to your citizenship in heaven. You hang on to the fellowship that you have with Christ. And I guarantee you, when you get to the other side, it'll be a new beginning. And I thought that was kind of neat, because this is the year 2008, and 8 stands for the word. I mean, the 8 is a number for new beginnings. And the Lord is saying, I'm trying to get you to a place that when you weather the storm and you get over there and you think you've ended and you've only just begun, because you are in a time of new beginnings. And sometimes transition is limbo. And it can be likened to being in a boat at sea, like we're talking about, where the disciples were neither where they started out to be and they weren't where they were going. And even in John 6, verse 16 through 18, that's what happened. The Lord told him to get to the other side. And all of a sudden, a great wind blew up, and the sea became even more unstable and threatening to capsize their boat and abort their arrival to the new place. And that's what happens to the enemy. The wind comes. He begins to shake the boat. He tries to threaten us. He wants to capsize us and put us under and feel like we're drowning. And the Lord said, Oh, no. I've got a place where I want you to go in the Spirit, and you're going to arrive there, and that's going to be a new place. And I believe that even now in the year 2008, God's taken us to a new place in Him. And if we would just let Him allow us to start that new beginning, once we get through this transition time to that place, then you're going to have a new thing going on, and it's going to be one of life and one of excitement and one that God's predestined for you to have. And when the wind and the storm is trying to keep the disciples from getting to his destiny, we got to remember that we can say in the name of Jesus, wind, be still. We don't take enough authority in Christ and in the name of Jesus like we should, because he stilled the storm when he came in John 6, verses 16, 18. He came walking, and the disciples finally said, whoa, look, here he comes. And they were willingly waiting to put him in the boat. And it said immediately the wind stopped. Now, I say that the wind is the oppressing forces of the enemy. We know that the devil comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. And if he can blow on us, and he can, and if he think he thinks that he can stop you, he'll use whatever. Sometimes he'll even do a little puff, and it doesn't take that much to just blow us off of our faith. And the Lord's saying, if you'll look to me, I'm the author and finisher of your faith. I'll get you to a safe place. You are in me. You're always safe. And according to Psalms 91, we dwell in the wings of the Most High God. There's safety there. I mean, he gives his angels charge over us. There's nothing too difficult. If we can't swim in the waters, get up and walk. The Lord says, walk on top of your circumstances. Get up and do something. And don't let the storm keep you down. When we are in a place of uncertainty and threat, we sometimes don't realize when Jesus is coming at us. And that's why I'm saying, if you'll get your eyes focused on Christ, if you'll begin to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, like I said a while ago, you'll get focus again. And then when Jesus starts coming into your circumstances, you'll recognize him quicker. Sometimes he starts coming into the circumstances, and because we've not been in prayer, and we've not been in the word, and we haven't been in worship, and we've forgotten about our sonship, and we're not taking on the benefits of the citizenship that we have because we're in the kingdom, we can't recognize him for who he is. And the Lord's saying, look, it's me. Can't you understand? Sometimes we take on the attitude of Thomas when he says, unless I see the nail prints in your body, I just don't know. Well, I say in the name of Jesus, I come against that spirit of doubt that comes against you and comes against me, that we are going to recognize Jesus when he walks into our storms, when he comes in to calm the seas. We're going to recognize when he's in the middle of that boat that's tossing back and forth, and we're going to speak in the name of Jesus, and that water's going to still, and the wind's going to stop blowing, and we're going to trust in him. And I know sometimes sometimes when you're out there on the sea, you're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm in the sea of sickness, marital problems, finances. How is this going to stop? Is this ever going to end? I say, yes. Yes, it's going to end. The Lord says, yes, it's going to end. But you've got to pray. You've got to ask Jesus to come in. You've got to recognize him when he gets there. You can't let go of your sonship. You can't let go of your citizenship. You can't let go of your discipleship. You can't let go of your fellowship. You can't let go of your worship. And you can't forget who owns you. And it says that, you know, finally they got to the other side, and Jesus got in the boat and everything was all right. And I'm telling you, let Jesus in your boat today. Hang on to the ship. If the ship's falling apart, hang on to a piece of that boat that you've got, because the reality is that he is the rock of our salvation. He is the stabilizer in our storm. He is the one that we can hang on to when the enemy's trying to pull us away from our faith and away from who we know loves us more than we love ourselves. So I encourage you today, read about Paul. Find out what he did when he came into these situations, when he was chained, when he was put in prison, when he was put in a ship and out in the storm, when he was, you know, even when it came down to the giving up of his life, man, he fought it all the way. He wasn't going to die. He was like Jesus. Jesus wasn't dying a minute before it was appointed for him to. And Paul said, I am not letting go. Even when he was warned at one time that if he went to Jerusalem, he was going to die. Agabus was telling him when he bound his feet and his hands, he said, you know, if you go there, this is what's going to happen. And Paul said, you know what? I can't worry about that. I cannot be concerned about that, because I'm going to go ahead and go. And he was determined to fulfill the plans that God had for his life. And here he went from being, you know, in prison, in storms, being bound, being forewarned, and yet he still sailed out on the course that God had for his life. And I'm asking you, hang on to your sonship. Hang on to your citizenship. Hang on to the fact that you are a disciple of Christ. Hang on to your fellowship. Hang on to worship. Don't let go, and know that things are going to be better and that God's bringing you through because he loves you. So I just close with this, that I pray that you're encouraged, that the Lord has exhorted you today, that no matter what's coming at you, that he's going to help you, that he'll never leave you and forsake you, that we have a God that is not moved by anything that is happening to us. His hand is not short, that he cannot move. There is nothing too difficult for him. He's not asleep. He never slumbers. He's there. He's going to bring you through. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh, and just give him the honor and the praise. So until the next time I get a chance to talk to you, I ask that the Lord bless you, and you just get in the Word and worship the Most High God.